bold discovery, which contradicted the teachings of the church and its view that the earth was the center of the universe, brought him into conflict with the church hierarchy, earning him the label of heretic and a sentence of house arrest because he would not recant his belief. But how could he? The telescope had shown him the truth. Learning, which once had been doled out in small, rationed doses to a privileged few because it could not be disseminated to many, was, in the Renaissance, accelerated. That's because in 1440, Johannes Gutenberg invented the mechanical moving type printing press that could print books quickly, in comparison to the laborious copying process which had confined the sharing of knowledge. Machines began to do the work that had depended on human labor, and as men and women gained precious hours, their interest in literacy and learning could grow. But as the Renaissance would demonstrate, learning was a double-edged sword because with knowledge came questions that the church could not answer and would not tolerate. The Inquisition would address the problem of questions which violated the teachings of the church, and instead of becoming martyrs, the church would create them. Chapter 2: The Italian Renaissance. Once upon a time, Rome was an empire, and the lands it contained were regional entities which had pre-imperial pasts followed by inclusion within the empire, a status generally achieved by the power of the Roman legions, but which was eventually accepted by the subject nations. Then Rome fell, and the nations, untethered to a central authority, were obligated to discern for themselves who they were as part of the Europe. For most of Europe, the cities were important, but subordinate to the countries in which they were located. Italy reversed that process with independent city-states. The Papal States, located in Rome and the northeastern Italian peninsula, were ostensibly the church hierarchy entrusted with the care of the spiritual domain. But in truth, they were powerful administrators intent on expanding their political base. Venice and Florence were republics that were controlled by nobles and budding capitalists with wealth that arose from trade rather than family inheritance. Naples was a kingdom and Milan was a duchy. There was no illusion that, collectively, they were Italy, but in their own right, they held sway over commerce, trade, arts, and power in Europe. Wealth was changing the demographic of power. The bankers were not aristocrats, but their acquisition of wealth meant that wealth was being redistributed. From a time when power was based on the ownership of land by the well-born, commercial advances saw wealth shift to people who did not have a pedigree of birth. The bankers had the money, and the nobility needed it. The nobles were not accustomed to having to preserve their acquisitions or to acquire more, and they relied on banking loans to fund their wars and their lifestyles. By the end of the 15th century, the nobles who had defaulted on their loans had lost their wealth to the commercial powers. A new power structure was forming. Approximately 1/4 to 1/3 of the population was poor. There were also slaves during this time, the first attempt in post-classical Europe to consider slavery as an economic option. Merchants and tradespeople, small businessmen in today's lexicon, were the next layer of social strata, beneath the bankers who were beginning to emerge as power brokers because of their control of wealth and their support of capitalism. On the top of the social structure were the traditional nobility class and the merchant class that dominated the cities. The brilliant minds of the Renaissance rediscovered their ancient roots, and with the rebirth of interest in Greek and Roman learning, the Renaissance, rooting itself in its lost heritage, built a new philosophy which bypassed the ecclesiastical formula of asceticism to discover worldly pleasures. Beauty and the intellect became the new lodestars of a population that looked to its own talents and awareness to define the world. Papal power and nepotism were joined at the hip as the popes of the Renaissance transformed the papacy into a family business. The man who became Pope Julius II in 1503 was himself the nephew of Pope Sixtus IV. And was elected at the age of 18 to the College of Cardinals in 1471. He was an advisor to Pope Innocent VIII. Whether or not the authenticity of his spirituality could be questioned, there was no doubt about his diplomatic network. He served on two diplomatic missions to France that promoted the involvement of the French in Italian affairs. The popes were intent on preserving power in a worldly domain that had very little in common with poverty, chastity, or obedience. Its early start did not bestow longevity upon the Italian Renaissance. Other nations eventually caught up, and by the time the 15th century came to a close, Italy was torn by war. The Roman Catholic Church was fighting ruthlessly against a culture of dissent which had breathed the free air of thought unencumbered by the chains of faith. Scandal and corruption tainted the Holy See. Other European countries